There's always questions. There's always things you don't understand. But a lot of times you want to understand before you do. But as you do, that's when you understand. So don't wait for understanding to just be obedient. Because understanding comes through your obedience. See, my ways are higher than your ways. You'll never understand me, but I fully understand you. That's why I say just obey. Whatever I prompt you to do, just do it. And the understanding will come when it needs to come. And if it doesn't come, it's because it's not needed. So don't worry about your questions. I've said this before. God never minds if you question him. He doesn't want you to ignore him. He said, question me all you want. Just don't ignore me.
My precious brother. He's so precious to me. Bible trivia. Oh, but it is more blessed to give than to receive. I appreciate you going to see Patricia. And I've been praying for you about that. Because that is, I said, God, you've opened, this is like a ministry. God's opened up this ministry to you is what it is. Amen. And see it that way. It's as unto the Lord. No matter how she responds, of course, she is responding. It's amazing. What all the therapists, what all the doctors can't do, you just by going, you're doing it because of God through you. I appreciate that. I really do. You know, sometimes it seems like our effort, you know, doesn't seem like it's up to the task. Well, of course not. That's why we have the Lord. Your effort's not up to the task. My effort's not up to the task. But, wow, I'm glad I'm not limited by me. I'm going to talk to you this morning on what's the difference. What's the difference? I can't get out of Philippians, Brother George. I'm still in Philippians. Yeah. So we're in Philippians again this morning. God, I thank you for your word. They're words of life. They're there to give us hope. You say you're here to give us a hope and a future. And that we can listen to you. We're your children. We can listen to you. You speak to us. God, help us to be better at responding to what you actually tell us to do instead of our ideas about what we think we should be doing. In Jesus' name, amen. See, there's a big difference. Moses couldn't go by what he just thought needed to happen. Right? Sometimes you can't either. And what other people take their advice, well, they're not you. They're not in your situation, and they don't have your future. God has a future for everybody in this room that he had in his heart before you ever breathed your first breath here. Before you were conceived, actually. You are a spirit wrapped up in flesh. And so what's the difference? There should be a difference in our lives. Christians should be different than other people. And in all kinds of ways. I mean, because you could put a smile on your face for a certain period of time. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, can you do that when you're by yourself? When everything's crashing in on you, can you begin to praise God in your own living room? See, the life that I now live is Christ, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. So if Jesus is in us and that is the truth, then even though you go through things, the good news is, well, you go on through. Get to the other side of whatever it is. Things happen that are yucky. And that's not by God's design. God wanted us to live forever. Adam and Eve, he always wanted Adam and Eve just to live forever in perfect bliss. But that got interrupted because they made a decision that they shouldn't have made. They trusted a voice they shouldn't have been trusting. You know, you can trust wrong voices and get a really crummy result. well-meaning people sometimes, but it's the wrong voice. It's not what God is saying. And this is why it's so important for us to know the Word of God. God is not going to contradict himself. Oh, man. There should be a difference in our lives. Because, I mean, we should be the same wherever we are. We should be. None of us are. But that's the goal. To always be completely authentic. And when you find that you catch yourself when you're not, then you say, God, get that garbage out of me. What is that? And you have to learn to control what you're thinking. As a man thinks in his heart, so easy. You're a product right now of everything you just keep thinking over and over and over. You're a product of your focus. You really are. The Bible says this. You'll never become like Jesus if your mind is never on Jesus. You'll never become like what the Word of God tells you to be if your focus is never on what did the Word tell you to do or not do. What are you supposed to be? How do you know what you're supposed to be? You'll never be what God created you to be if all you do is come on a Sunday morning and this is all you get all week. I'm telling y'all the straight up truth because a lot of people don't say this. Like, well, that's discouraging. No, it's very encouraging. You mean there's more? But wait, there's more. Yes, it's true. There is more. There's a lot more. Look into Philippians 2, please. I'm going to start in verse 13. I've talked about this book how many weeks now, so I'm not going to revisit everything I've said. But this is a church. This was written to a church from Paul. And this was a church that had really, really helped Paul. And that when he left their particular city, their area, they sent funds with him. And they sent people often to help him. Because nobody else, no other church did this for Paul, y'all. So this Philippian church was an exceptional church. They understood the importance of this man needs to be able to go and tell other people this. This is important. I want to be like that. It didn't have to be me. I'd be glad to send somebody else. I'm glad to do that. I do that. Our church does that. We give to missions so that there's people like, you know, wherever they're called, I want them because why? Because people need to hear the truth. The truth you know is what makes you free, the Bible says. If you don't know the truth, you can't get free of stuff you don't know anything about. You can't do it. And this world does not have the answers for stuff I'm talking about. It really doesn't. And it only gets worse and worse. It will wax worse and worse. Yeah. He says here in verse 13, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. He was telling these people, God is who works in you. There's a work that God wants to do in us because there's a work he wants to do through us. And it can, and it's different for every person. You know, it depends on what did God call you to do. Don't compare yourself with other people, other ministries. That's a waste of time. It's just a complete waste of time, human energy. What did God tell you to do, and are you doing what God told you to do? Because that's what you're going to give an account for, not the response of people to you. That was big. I've never said that before. God just said that. You're going to give an account for what you did, not how people responded to you. How do I know? Not everybody received Jesus either. Not everybody received Paul or Peter or the different disciples. Not everybody believed Mary Magdalene. He is risen. Oh, you're right. I mean, but the fact she was willing to tell something so outlandish, that's credited on her record. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? So you can't go by how people are responding to you. You'd never do anything. You would do it. You just really wouldn't. It just wouldn't be worth the trouble. But when God tells you to do something, there's something in you where you just say, okay, that's called obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice, the Bible says. No matter what you do, how much you give, what you, you know, that people see you do. It's like, what are you doing when people don't see you do and you're still doing? Because, see, that's your heart. That's your real heart. And he says, for it's God who works in you both to will. In other words, it's God in you that makes you choose and even prefer what it is he wants you to do. There are things that I never dreamed I would do. This is one of them. This is not what I went to college for. This is what I got my degrees in or any of that stuff. But when God got a hold of my life, I was willing to walk away from every bit of it. Because I knew I had to tell people about Jesus, and I refused to have a job where they said, you can't do that here. And I said, then I won't be here. I won't be here. And I was making a good living. But you know what? I'm certainly no worse for the wear. I'm really not. And it's one of the best decisions I ever made. But it was a decision I made because that's what God told me to do. Who do you work for? I'm not saying it's bad to have a job. You need a job. Of course you do. But who do you work for? Your job is just a means to accomplish something. But who do you really work for? Does that person have your allegiance? Does Jesus have your allegiance? And if it came between your job and Jesus, what would you choose? Food for thought. It's part of my job. I don't throw tomatoes. He says in verse 14, do all things without complaining and disputing. Do you know why we have so many different denominations? Because people complained and disputed. For things they didn't understand, and because there's always somebody who wants to be the big dog. There's always somebody who just has to have that. They just have to have that, or nothing's okay. Let me explain something to you. We serve God. We aren't God. We serve Him. We aren't Him. Do all things. So what's the difference between us and most of the people that you know? Let's think about it. Like on your job or in your family. So do we do everything without complaining or disputing? Is everything an argument? There's some families, everything ends up being an argument somehow. Somebody's got to be right. Somebody's got to be wrong. You just can't be different or have a different viewpoint and that be okay. Somebody's got to be right. Somebody's got to be wrong. My question is, so what's the difference in us as Christians and people in the world? Because that's the kind of stuff they do. They kill over stuff like that. They pull guns on people for stuff like that. They shoot people in the streets over stuff like that. I'm right, you're wrong. Bang. I said do this, you won't do it. Bang. This is a crisis, y'all. And I think it's a crisis in the church. Because if there's one thing we've got to be, it's authentic. Our yes should be yes, our no should be no. So what's the difference? I'm asking this. This is kind of like, kind of go up inside yourself and look. It's the one thing we mostly avoid. Because if you're really looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, He'll cause you to look. He'll make you look. He'll tell you stuff about you people won't. They won't do it. Even if they think it, they won't do it. They won't have the nerve. But God's got nerve, and He'll tell you this stuff, and I mean, it'll smack you. It will. But He's not doing it because He's mean or He's so demanding. He's doing it because He's called you to something higher, and you can't get there with this stuff in your way. You just can't get there. No matter how badly you want it, no matter how qualified you might appear. Now, see, that kind of stuff, all the things of the world, that doesn't matter to God. That doesn't move God's radar. I could have 15 degrees. That wouldn't move God's radar. He's saying, I want you to be like me. Did you know that is the standard for Christianity, is that we're to be like Jesus? Be like Jesus. Well, who can be like Jesus? Nobody's ever going to be exactly like Jesus. We know that. That's obvious. But he is your goal. About your desires, your finances, your worldly appetites, appetites to impress, all those kinds of things. See, there's you can feel that. It's like pride is subtle, isn't it? Have you noticed how pride is very subtle? How it could sneak up on you, and all of a sudden you say, well, at least I'm not like them. And the Bible says, but for the grace of God, there go I. And we have sometimes a tendency to want to compare ourselves to someone else. He says, when you compare yourselves among yourselves, ye do err. You get into error when you do that. And you come up with wrong judgments, not only about them, but yourself. I've met a lot of people, and have been one of them in my younger years, who went to church. I went to church, but I didn't really have God on my mind all that week. I didn't have God on my mind. I had stuff I wanted to do. I'm busy. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can go to church a lifetime and go straight to hell. And there are people who have done a lot. They've stolen. They've done all kinds of things, and they're going to go to heaven. You don't go to heaven because you've done everything right. You go to heaven because Jesus did everything right. He was the Lamb. He was the sacrifice. He's the only one who's perfect. And you go because you gave him your life. I was talking to somebody this week and just trying to sift through to see, you know, do they really actually know the Lord, that kind of thing. And it was kind of difficult. It was kind of rocky. Because some of the answers they gave, and I go, ooh, I don't know. Because you can be baptized. You can go through some ritual and still not have given your life to Jesus. See, the early church, they gave their life, literally laid their life down for Jesus. They gave their life to Jesus. And the life that I now live is Christ. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me, the Bible says. So it's like, it's not really your life to do with just as you please. Or what kind of degree you want, or what kind of career you want. Ask God what he wants you to do. Ask him. He says, ask largely of me. Ask. God's not broke. He's not poor. He's not really not. And he's not against you being rich and wealthy. He's against that stuff having you instead of him. He wants to have our heart. So my thing is, if we're really different, is there evidence that we're really different? Do you watch all the same movies all your friends do of the world? Do you? Do you watch all the same stuff on TV? You watch them strip, you're watching them get naked, you're watching them mess around on the bed. Is that? My thing is, if Jesus doesn't want to have anything to do with it, I don't want to have anything to do with it. Did I start there? No. No, that's not where you start, but it's where you need to end up at some point, and even more. And I'm not judging anybody. That's not my job. There's only one righteous judge, and it's Jesus. I'm telling you that what I see in the scriptures about the life, and when I say now the life that I now live is Christ, I have to ask myself, is it really? Is the life I'm living a Jesus life? And I find that I fall short. But I'm not going to make excuses for it. I'm going to change. Have you ever looked at yourself and said, you're going to change. That's what you're going to do. You know what you're going to do? You're going to change. That's what you're going to do. You're going to be selfish. It's not going to be about your day, your schedule, or how much sleep you've had or haven't had. It's not going to be about anything like that. It's going to be about what did God tell you to do? That's what you're going to do. You're going to take yourself by the nape of the neck and say, you're going to do what Jesus tells you to do. That's what you're going to do. I don't see Jesus ever even trying to impress one person ever. By his appearance, by what he said, or by what he did. He really, honestly, didn't care. because he was only wanting to please his Father who sent him. That's my goal. Where I can literally say, I don't care. I don't care. Because sometimes I'm snagged by it. I'm being honest. And when I catch that, it makes me cry. Because I find it to be such a stench to God. It's a stench to God for us to care more about what people think of us than what his agenda for us is. It's a stench. It should make you sick at your stomach when you catch yourself being so caught up with what people think of you or the appearances or how would that look or how would that seem. We're so inundated with this whole world system that keeps telling you what you're supposed to be. Did you know this book tells you what you're supposed to be? And you're not going to be happy ever apart from it. If you're a saved person, you're going to be one more miserable Christian. It's like a gun always just half-cocked, but it never shoots. Never hits a target, never does anything. It's just something lying around that's dangerous. He says, do all things without complaining and disputing. Everything, everything. That you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault. He said, this is how you find that you are without fault. You do everything without complaining. You don't complain. You don't dispute. You're not always in a fuss with somebody. And harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. We're to be light. The world is in darkness, and the people of the world, they're in darkness. They don't know that they're in darkness. You know, you can be in a very dimly lit room, and your eyes will adjust so that you can see where you're going. But when you step out of the sunshine, it hurts your eyes almost at first because you stepped into light. That's the way people are living. They're in that dimly lit room. Their eyes have adjusted. Their behaviors have adjusted to the fact there's not enough light in the room. Jesus is the marvelous light. He said, I'm the light of the world. He is the light of the world. He says, don't walk in darkness. You're not children of darkness. You're children of light. We're children of God. There's a light in us. And I'm telling y'all, people need it. They need it. They need that strength that we get from God. I get strength from God. I don't have any place else to get it. You don't either. And you can't pull on people for that. They're wherever they are in their walk. You can't. Sometimes you can pull on family members or something. They just can't deliver that. They're just not there yet. So don't do that to them. Get your own light. Get your own light going. And you can do this. You can do this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, the word says. So I'm telling you, you can do this. But you're going to have to get in a place with Jesus where he's real. He's more real to you than what you're wearing that day. He's more real to you than how you appear. He's more real to you than some commercial you should have been watching in the first place. How are we doing up in here? All right. It's hard to tell sometimes. It's really quiet up in here. Doesn't it, Suzanne? You know, and I'm not fussing. I'm trying to tell you something that's true so that your life will be better, that your life will be really good, it'll be really rich, so that your relationships are really, truly authentic. They're for real. And you have real conversations with people. You have real relationships instead of superficial relationships. And you have something real with God. And when you stand before him, it'll be a wonderful experience for you. God's going to love you whether you serve him or not, by the way. He loved you before you knew him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Right? So God loves everybody. It's just not everybody loves God. And so everybody who decides they don't love God, he doesn't make them live with him forever. God will honor that. In a person, he'll honor that. He won't make you be with him if you don't ever want to be with him here. He won't make you be with him. I just thought I'd put that out there. Let's keep going on. He says, as harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. We are the light that some people need. He says, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Paul said, I want to be able to rejoice in you guys. This was a letter he'd written to this church. They'd been very, very good to Paul, very good to Paul. But he's still trying to, you know, make sure they're staying on track, which is really what Paul was called to do with these churches. I don't think sometimes we understand what the culture was of the day. It's important when you read the Bible, you understand what the culture was of the day. It was very different. It was a Greco-Roman culture. They had the Greek culture, basically, which was total paganism. I mean, they were under Roman rule. So all the laws of Rome had to be obeyed, whether you're a Christian or not. And the Bible lists a lot of these different laws. When Paul's talking to slaves, he's talking about family situations, and he begins to talk about these rules and stuff that aren't in God's original creation. You have to always go all the way back to Genesis before sin if you want to know the will of God. That's God's perfect will, because that's where it's all going to end up, right? Everything else is a result of sin, where some groups of people decided, well, you're a different color, so we're superior to you. See, that's all the result of sin. It's all the result of sin. Subjugation of anybody is from sin. Anybody is from sin. And I see Jesus and his relationship with people. And also, we're going to look at today, Paul. I'm going to look at it just a little bit. Go down to verse 17. He says, yes, and if I'm being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. He went on to say, though, but I trust the Lord Jesus to send Timothy. So he's already preparing them for a transition here. Now let's go on. I'm going to go on over to chapter 3, please. Look at verse 17. It says, brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. That's important right there, isn't it? Is your mind mostly on earthly things or heavenly things on any given day? It's a good question, isn't it? When I read the Bible, it makes me really think through some things. It's supposed to. You know, don't just like glib through the Bible, you know. It says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. We're not always going to be in these bodies, but your spirit is the same. Once your spirit is born again, your spirit is as much like Jesus as it's ever going to be. You are a spirit. You have a soul and you have a body. And whichever way your soul leans is the way you're going to go. Either my soul is going to lean toward the spirit and I'm going to be more spirit-minded and be more and more like Jesus, or my soul is going to lean more toward my body, the flesh, the ways of the world, and I'll be more like the world. That's a truth. That is the truth. Don't go on down to chapter 4, please. At verse 1, therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I love that. He's got such a strong desire for these people to make it and to do well. It's so sweet. He said, I implore Euodia, and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers. He names these women as fellow workers in the dispensing of the gospel message, Euodia and Syntyche. And he's talking about help them be able to do this and get along, because it's important. It's important to be able to get along with the people that God has yoked you up with to labor with. Because, do you remember, he sent them out two by two. So they really need to get along. I don't know what was going on, whatever. But he said they labored with me in the gospel, the spreading of the gospel. The gospel is the preaching about Jesus. That's what the gospel is. And so he says, and I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel. So these were women who were preaching the word, trying to spread the gospel. And he lists them with their other fellow workers as well. So what does that say? There's no excuse about us not preaching the gospel. You don't have to be a man to preach the gospel. You need to be a human being, and you need to have been born again. That's the criteria for preaching the gospel. And a lot of people have made it all into all kind of stuff and come up with all kind of dogma, religious stuff. But I have seen people all over the world who preach the gospel, and these women evangelists, they get the same results. It's the same, because if it's the same message, you get the same results, right? It's just people's attitudes sometimes are skewed in a different direction. Look in verse 4. He says this, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. When you're going through something, I'm talking about, what's the difference today? What's the difference between our lives and people in the world? When you're going through a trial, do you rejoice? Or do you shut that down? Well, after all, anybody would be sad. It doesn't say that. It says, no matter what, you're to rejoice in the Lord. You're not saying that what happened was wonderful. You're saying God is still wonderful. And that the bad things that happened, God didn't do them anyway. And I'm going to say it again. I've said it. I'm probably going to say it forever. There's this teaching, and I know I grew up in it. So I have a real hatred for it. I'll put it that way. And it's this teaching on the sovereignty of God. Well, whatever happens, it must be God's will. No. I knew somebody, and I just said, that wasn't God. Kid driving down the road, may have been inebriated, maybe not. We don't know for sure what all was going on. So goes really too fast, can't make the curve, hits a tree and dies. And somebody says, well, I guess God, just, it was his time to go home. No, it wasn't. It was not his time to go home. This is not how God takes his children home. If I'm going to die a horrible death like that, it should be for persecution. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, but I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. A Christian should have a very abundant life. A vibrancy about that person, that they're energetic, they're willing to work, they have stuff to do, they always have a list of things to do because they're working in the kingdom. And you're going to have a lot to do because there's always needs of people all around you all the time. Whether they're here or not is irrelevant to me. It doesn't matter to me where they are, who they are. But Satan comes to steal and kill and destroy. Not everything that happens to people is the will of God. Oh, well, God must have sent that storm. No, he didn't. And we've talked about this before. He gave dominion to people. And he gave them dominion. Look at it. It's in Genesis. Genesis, the very beginning, when he was talking about Adam and Eve. And he gave them dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the creeping things on the earth. He gave them dominion over this planet. It's not God's fault they blew it. And God did not change his mind about who has dominion. He had already declared it. Whatever God says, that's his word. When God says something, it's a promise. It's something he won't break. And so what's happened is we have been living under a dominion because people keep yielding to Satan and what Satan wants instead of what God wants. And so Satan has to use people to move through on the planet, just like God's got to have people he can move through. So that sovereignty stuff, it's one of the biggest hindrances to people in the body of Christ today. It really is. It's not. If it's evil, he comes to steal, kill, destroy. God says, I've come that they might have life. So if it brings life, if it's light, if it's good, it's from God. If it's not any of those things, it's from the devil. This is really simple. But the church came up with doctrines. I call them excuses. Those are called excuses for why this didn't happen or that didn't happen, instead of saying, I don't know, maybe I'm not there yet. Maybe I didn't pray enough. Well, you know, so that we won't ever look at ourselves in terms of being the light we're supposed to be. But we can be. We can be light. We can be light in somebody's world. We really can. We're supposed to be light. And I know all through college, today, for the most part, colleges, they're just cesspools. Cesspools of iniquity, they really are. And they brainwash. It's easy. It's easy to do. You can brainwash people. The younger they are, you can brainwash them. It's easy. Communism has been doing it for years. They start out with little kids so that they turn in their own parents to be killed. Because they're so effectively brainwashed at an early age. And it's all in our school systems and stuff now. But it doesn't have to stay there. And you can be a parent and you can be a grandparent and you can make corrections. And it's real important. People know you're not perfect. They don't care that you're not perfect. They're not really interested in you being perfect all the time. Because that's impossible. But they want you to be for real. They're looking for somebody, but are you for real? And I mean, I'm pretty much out there with my whatevers. And I'm telling you, it's a walk. But if you're not walking at all, you can't get somewhere you won't even try to go. You've got to walk with Jesus and let Jesus walk with you. But I'm telling you, this stuff is real. It is real. And you're going to give an account whether you want to or not. Because we have our generation has more access and the quickest access to information than any other generation has ever been. We of all generations have the least excuses of any other generation about knowing the Word of God. See, the difference for you is, do I really know the Word of God or am I just going to church? If you go to church, you're not ever going to do what I'm talking about. A, you won't have a desire to. B, you won't know. Ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is a killer. He says this in verse 6. Look at this. Be anxious for nothing. Isn't that huge? I could stop right there. We could camp there for 2 years. Be anxious for nothing. No thing. Are we all there yet? I'm not. There are things every once in a while I find myself feeling anxious and I have to say, wait, what are you doing? What are you doing? I have to catch myself. Is anybody else have to catch yourself? Yeah, okay. Yeah. About a third of us are honest. Okay, that's okay. Be anxious for nothing. You know, I had an incident. Chris and Joseph were at our house last night. Their electricity went out in their neighborhood. So, you know, they come over and they bring the baby. And she's at the stage where I don't have my locks on all my bottom cabinets yet. This past week. She's up just walking around, yanking open all the cabinets and everything. So I saw her go into her cabinet, and I started racing over there. And just as the glass bulb began to fall, I caught it. Before it hit the floor, it was like, oh, gosh, I wish this would have been great on TV, as seen on TV or something. But I actually intercepted that before it hit the floor. And but I had felt a little anxiety about when I was stuck, going, oh, no, you know, that cabinet has got, you know. She pulled out the very top thing, and it was a glass. You know, bottom on it. So I understand sometimes there's this anxiety, but we've got to put things in perspective. Part of it is you're alerted to something. I think that's different than regular anxiety. You know, you're alerted to something you need to take care of. But if you have that same, all day long, there's something wrong. Do y'all understand the difference? There's an immediate situation. You see it, you deal with it. But I mean, as soon as I put it back, I didn't have any more anxiety about it. It was over. There are things that come, and not only do you have anxiety at the moment, you have it for 2 weeks, a month, right? 2 months, a year, how long? Well, you decide. How long are you going to live in that place and state of anxiety? See, it's really up to you. God isn't going to take it away. He told you what to do about it. See, I think we put so much on God and so much less on what we can do. You're not as helpless as you think. So what's the difference in the way we respond to situations than pretty much anybody else? What's the real difference? We say we're a Christian. What does that mean? It means we're different. How? That's one of them. That's one of them. That we're different. Our focus is different. Our reactions are different. Our result. You know, you may have the exact same result as somebody else, but the way you handled it was different. Because you're different from the inside out. You're different from the inside out. Let me wrap this up with this. Look in, he said, don't be anxious for anything. We read that. Now, he goes down, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are pure or just, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things, the things that are praiseworthy. There are a lot of discussions people have about things that are not praiseworthy. They're depressing. Some news report is just terrible. Let's just go on about that for 30 minutes. You know, and it says, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. That's a big, bold statement Paul just made. In other words, he's saying, look at my life. Look at my life. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me. Talk is cheap, isn't it? People want to see. They want to see how did you end up really responding? Ultimately, what did you do? They might see you in a crisis, but at some point you're not in that crisis and you have made some decisions. And people want to see what are you doing with those decisions in your life, right? He says in verse 12, Paul says, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things I have learned, which means he didn't start out this way. See, I think some people get discouraged when they look at Paul or they look at Jesus. How can anybody ever be like Jesus? Well, you won't know if you never even start. I love this about Paul. He said, I have learned. There were some things Paul had to learn. There are some things you'll have to learn by reason of use. There's certain things that you'll have to do, and you'll have to do it again and go, no, that's not quite it. That's not it. That's not it. I got close this time, though, God. I got close this time. I didn't lose my cool this time, you know, but I stewed about it. I stewed about it for 2 hours after the conversation. I didn't lose my cool this time, but I still stewed about it. I was still like inside going, oh, who do they think they are? I'm so sick of this. No. Y'all understand what I'm saying? So there's things you learn, but don't be discouraged that you still didn't pop off. You still didn't lose your cool. So that's better than what it was, right? So don't beat yourself up for not being perfect. We already know you're not going to get there. But you don't have to be the way you've always been. You don't have to. And it's not an excuse to stay the same. Paul said, I have learned. I have learned. I have learned. And I think this is one of the most powerful scriptures that he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So you're not out here trying to do this on your own. You're not just winging it. You have a teacher. You have one who went before you, and he showed you. And I was talking to somebody the other day. I said, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then read the book of Acts. Because Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John didn't do near. They did some things through the power that Jesus gave them. But when he left, they wandered. They absolutely flew the coop. You understand that expression with your chickens? They flew the coop. They couldn't maintain anything that he had told them. And so he said, I'm sending you. Now go wait. There's an upper room. I want you to go gather there and wait. You have to wait. You don't have power right now. So whatever you don't go do anything. Wait until you're endued with power from on high. In other words, there was this power to be able to do. So everything I've been preaching, he said, I've given you power to do. So that we are without excuse. Y'all stand up, please. I understand this is not a how to win friends and influence people sermon. I understand that. but it's legit. I tell you the real stuff. Most of my life growing up, I didn't hear the real stuff, and it matters. It matters to hear the truth. The truth you know is what makes you free. The truth you don't know is where you're stuck. And you can hear it, but you'll have to hear it and hear it and hear it. And I see this with Paul in the different churches. And he would go back and he said, well, I told y'all all this, you know, so what happened, right? But I love this about Paul. He didn't stop him. He just kept at it and kept at it. And he was so sweet and gracious, and he said, but I have learned. And that always gives me hope when I see somebody like Paul say, but I've learned. I thought, okay, I can learn. We can learn. We can do better. God, I thank you for your presence, your kindness to us this morning. Let our heart be on fire for you. That we're not, this isn't just a church, this thing that we do. It's a life that we live out of the reality of who you are, that we actually live it. We breathe it. We don't just talk it. We live it. We do it. And God, I give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor that you deserve this very moment. I give it to you. In the name of Jesus, amen. I'm happy to see everybody here today. And we had some people out today, but that's okay. I'm appreciating everybody took the time to come be with us today. And Reese, it's always good to have you back here. Happy birthday, Reese. Yes, and Sophie too. Happy birthday. I put it on the thingy, but I forgot to say it this morning. So we've got a lot of birthdays this going up. Bonnie said we're surrounding with birthdays all this month. John must have been a very good year. A very good month for a lot of people. Well, y'all have, and introduce yourselves and be friendly with people. And Stephen, have you got something for this morning too? Did you have something? Oh, y'all sit me down for just a minute. Just for a minute. It's okay, Reese. I'm teasing with you. Let me explain it first. Just a minute. He'll come in here and just sit down and start writing stuff down, and it'll end up being what I just preached, and he didn't know what I'm going to preach. They didn't know what I'm going to preach. A lot of it isn't written down. I don't know what I'm going to always say either, because that's up to God. So this is called A Sign and Wonder.
I do not waste my words. Every word I speak has a purpose. I have given everything you need. I've given you all authority. I've given you power. I've given you understanding. I've given you hope. Speak what I've spoken. Do what I've done, and much more. Consider your words before you speak, and do not use them in vain. For all power has been given to you what you say. Do not waste your words.
That's good. Yeah. So that makes a difference. That's what I was talking about this morning, making a difference. Just the language of the world or whatever. Are we to have something from God? We all have a great week. A great week. Am I forgetting anything else? Oh, yeah, the baby shower is next weekend. And this is for George's granddaughter, Lana Lopez. Yes. And Lana and Jay went here years and years ago. They're precious. And anyway, Krista and I'm trying to think who else. Hannah and I, think, are giving her a shower. But y'all are welcome to come. And I know it'll be a blessing to her. Yeah. And George, too. Love y'all. Good to see everybody here.